Woohoo! Here we are in the Green Diva studio. But you know what? It feels kind of empty. I love you, Paul, and I love the dog, but Lynn is not with us.
She's a special one. I know. Listen,
there she is.
Wow, modern technology.
I love it.
Gotta love it. Yeah, so, I feel like I'm now at least I can envision where you guys are sitting and what it feels like to be there.
So welcome to the Green Divas radio show. You've got Green Diva Meg.
Green Dude.
Diva Lynn, sorry.
we've just found the first challenge of working remote. Yes. Go ahead, Lynn. Divas
Green
first.
Diva Lynn.
And Green Dude Paul.
Yay. So we're all sort of here.
Ready for another exciting show?
Oh my gosh, we are just having so much fun. I am in the studio now, like all day on Mondays and Tuesdays, which is really interesting. Learning a lot, talking to a lot of people.
Well, Lynn, you're opening so many great doors. And thank you as our ambassador.
Lynn is keeping me busy. I will blame Lynn, but it's a good thing to be blamed for.
We're moving and grooving.
So first of all, I want to just take a minute to thank our sponsors, buygreen.com. Thank you, Doug, for doing what you do with buygreen.com, you know, with a great rating system for everything you need for green living and healthy living.
Conscious consumerism.
Conscious consumerism. And now, by the way, just in case people want to know, they can go to our website and go to the shop button. In the top menu on the left says shop, and you can now go to buygreen.com and shop like a green diva through the Green Divas.
Exciting.
I know,
and
isn't it?
Dudes can shop too.
Dudes can shop there too. So pretty soon we'll actually have our own full marketplace set up, and it will be populated primarily by our favorite Buy Green things. So stay tuned, but for now you can go through us, just so you know.
Thank you, buygreen.com.
Now, we also have Smarty Marty's Rent-A-Wreck, also known as Dover Rent-A-Wreck, based here in northern New Jersey. He has several locations, and don't let the name fool you. Lynn and I had a Rent-A-Wreck last week, and it was a really cute.
You were styling.
Yeah, that was a great car.
Right? Mm-hmm. Great little Toyota Matrix, and you really didn't seem to me like it was a used car.
I felt like I was in the Matrix.
Matrix. Ooh, I like that. So, and it's fun. Smarty Marty himself is great, but everybody that works for him is very sweet and fun. Low stress experience. And they also have trucks for rent. So if you need to rent a truck, so go to thegreendivas.com and up in the, well, in the sidebar, there's always a banner there.
We love our sponsors.
We do.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you, guys. So today I did an interview with Susan Frankel, who's the author. I have interviewed her before with her book, Plastic, A Toxic Love Story, which is
I love that title.
I know, right? It's really well written, too. She's a really good writer. And this time we were talking about some research and writing she had been doing about toxins in our environment and their specific effects on children. Mm-hmm. And how vulnerable children are to things like the formaldehyde in the couch or flame retardants in, bedding. And so
all the outgassing.
Yeah. I think there was some recent research that she had written about. So that's what sparked our conversation. So I recommend staying tuned for that to be sure.
But there's more.
But wait. There's also going to be a really fun My Earth 360.
Oh, that's me.
That would be you.
Good thing you're here.
Yeah, it's right. A good thing you're there. So I know you always have great WTF pieces in that. And also,
never enough time for those.
I know, right?
It's always a long list.
Usually something encouraging and always something to take action on.
Yes.
So Lynn's keeping us busy and informed. I also had a really great time with James Michael Reilly, the actor, who, by the way, he was in does anybody watch Blacklist?
No, I haven't seen that, but I've heard a lot about it.
I love James Spader. And but he did one of the episodes that he was in happened to be Alan Alda was in that episode.
Oh, so, I love Alan Alda.
I know. He's like classic. So he said it was really, really great to be able to work with and meet Alan Alda. So anyway, James Michael Patrick happens to be living in our area here, and he's building an intensive green roof house. And it's called Underhill. And, you know, it's been taking them a while because, you know, New Jersey has no idea.
Right.
Like, just they're clueless. So what's the word I'm looking for? He had to educate.
Building codes.
The building codes, inspectors. Yeah. Because they were like, no, you can't do that.
You can't put dirt on your roof.
Yeah, you can't do that. So anyway, he's going to be coming in from time to time and talking about the process.
Oh, very cool.
Which I think is really, and he's such a neat guy. And we also have a video of him. So this week, the Post will have a video. Yay. Now, we're announcing yet more really cool segments. This week is our first Green Divas at Home. And we were lucky to get Beth Greer, who is also known as Supernatural Mom. She's the author of Supernatural Home. And she's got an awful lot to talk about and teach us about.
Super.
Super. I love that. That was really good. Paul's on. And then our other new segment, which this one ought to be fun, and it will get more fun when we get to do more of the fun, and you'll know what I mean when I announce it, but it's Traveling Green Divas.
Mm.
And this week we talked to Carolyn Scott Hamilton, who is also known as the Healthy Voyager.
Wow.
So when I saw that there's somebody we were corresponding with some Hawaiian Hawaiian resort, and I was like, get us a trip, man, and it looked like there might be.
It might happen.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm on that. That's in September. We're there. I think we're going to have.
Unless it's hurricane season.
I don't think it's hurricane season out there in the Pacific.
In
no, I don't think so. I don't think
so.
I'll take my chances.
I think they have monsoons.
They have volcanoes.
They have volcanoes. They have earthquakes.
Piece of cake.
Whatever.
We're stronger than the storm.
Yeah, they do everything farm to table.
We're from Jersey. Yeah, we're stronger than the storm. That was funny.
True.
Man.
You guys are tough.
So we have a lot of really, really great stuff today, and I'm looking forward to doing more eco-travel segments of our own Traveling Green Divas.
Fantastic.
Indeed.
So, all right.
Stay tuned.
That's what I'm saying. Stay tuned. Lots coming up. Where are you headed on your next trip? Have you considered the environmental impact of your adventure? Listen to the Travelin' Green Divas to get tips for healthy, safe, and eco-friendly travels. Well, hello. Welcome to the first episode. Yes, we are virgins here, green traveling virgins. we're lucky today to be on with Carolyn Scott Hamilton, who is a healthy and green living travel expert. She's a chef and a cookbook author, among many cool things. And we're going to talk to her today about eco travel. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm good. Happy spring. I'm like, you know, kind of wheezy and coffee. Thank you, pollen. So I'll try not to. Oh, and Lynn, say hi.
Hi, this is Green Diva Lynn.
Lynn was waving.
Don't forget me.
So anyway, tell us what you're, first of all, because it's your first time, just tell us about what you're up to and how people can find out more about you.
Sure. Let's see here. I've got a website and a travel show all under the name of Healthy Voyager, so you can find everything under the sun at healthyvoyager.com. I launched it basically in 06. I've been a plant-based vegan since 1999,
all right.
So way before it was cool.
Yeah.
I was an avid traveler, and I used to have to kind of MacGyver-style cook in my hotel room and manipulate menus in weird ways when I traveled, because obviously, you know, vegan 15, 16 years ago was pretty bizarre.
Right.
But luckily that's changed. But back in 2005, I started thinking, you know, there's all these travel shows, and it's all about, like, where to get the juiciest burger or where you can eat bugs in the Amazon.
Right.
And nothing that helps special diet diners, you know, so whether you were diabetic or gluten-free or vegetarian, there wasn't really anything out there for them. So I created the show and launched it. And here we are today. It's a full healthy and green living brand. And I still have the travel show. We're launching a new cooking show soon. And every week there's a new travel city with healthy travel tips and where to eat, recipes, all kinds of fun stuff. And yeah, I'm a nutritionist and a chef, so I try to put a healthy spin on everything. And then my cookbook came out a couple of years ago, which is a good marriage of travel and cooking. So there's fun stuff there. And that's kind of a little bit of what I do.
Excellent. And aren't we lucky to have you, because you're obviously very busy.
Absolutely.
So tell us, you know, if we only have a couple of minutes to just go over some tips for healthy green travel. What are the top things you suggest to people who are trying to travel healthy and green?
Definitely. Yeah, a lot of people tend to, I mean, obviously you're traveling unless it's for business. You know, you want to have fun and you want to indulge, which is totally fine. But there's that healthy balance. You know, you're not going to eat a giant pizza for every meal and cheeseburger for every meal and that kind of stuff, and then come back and feel like you're going to be okay, because that's always the worst. And you come back and getting back on track, it's like, oh man, I got to start a diet and I'm sluggish. So it's really best to let yourself indulge every now and again, but try to be as healthy as you can. So I always say, you know, number one, fit in fitness where you can. Obviously, you're not going to, you know, hit the gym when you're in Bali, but do something every day, whether it's stretching in your room or doing a little bit of yoga or taking a nice walk for about 20 minutes. Just do something to make sure that you don't totally lose your health, you know, routine. So that's one. Good. Always bring comfortable shoes. Take the walking tour instead of the trolley tour or bike tour, something like that, so you stay a little bit active.
Yeah, I like that.
My next big tip is staying hydrated. Bring a water bottle with you. I always take my water bottle through security, and then I fill it up at the airport so that, first of all, I don't have to pay $20 for a dang bottle of water.
Right, yeah. Right.
And you know, it's eco-friendly because you're not filling the landfills with that bottle, and
right.
You can fill it for free. So I'm always hydrated. I always bring the water bottle with me. If you're going hiking or something like that, get one of those foldable water bottles that you can kind of snap onto your purse so you're always hydrated. That's always key, and it'll keep you satiate a little bit while you're in between meals.
Right.
So hydration is key. And I like to tell people to kind of get to know their area where they're at. So even if you're in a hotel room, get to know the local market, or if there's a nice farmer's market, stock up on at least a few fruits and veggies and snacks to have in your room so that you're not totally starving, so you don't leave for the day on an empty stomach, so you always have something in your bag to snack on, so you're not left with like, oh man, I'm starving, let me just eat this bag of chips.
Right.
You'll have a banana or you have some trail mix or something in your bag that isn't disgusting, you know. So just kind of planning ahead a little bit, get in. It's kind of a fun way to get to know your local area and your surroundings where you're visiting. So kind of just adds a little bit. And for people who do have special diet restrictions, I always say no before you go. So kind of do a little bit of research beforehand. Check out the restaurants that are around. And if there's nothing totally vegan or gluten-free, figure out where they can accommodate to some degree and where you can manipulate the menu so you're not kind of left high and dry winging it.
Wow. This is all – I'm very validated, because this is pretty much how I travel. This is me.
If I go anywhere, that's what I do. And my husband and son kind of make fun of me for being so, I guess, organized. For having these snacks.
Resourceful.
And then they're happy when I actually have them and they need them.
Right. You're resourceful and smart.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, what the heck?
Right.
Yeah. I love it. Well, hopefully we'll get to do some traveling, and it would be fun to travel out and see you. Hopefully we'll get to do that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we've got lots more topics to talk about. So and people can find you at healthyvoyager.com.
Yep, and anywhere on the web, on any social media platform,
and
just look up Healthy Voyager and you'll find me.
And I think we'll have a post relating to this particular podcast on the site so people can go to the Green Divas and learn more. And we'll talk to you again very soon.
Sounds good.
Thanks so much, Carolyn.
Yeah,
happy
great
trails.
Talking to you, Carolyn. Thanks.
Take care.
Whether you're off to a tropical getaway or traveling for business, make sure to check the Traveling Green Divas on thegreendivas.com for more tips and ideas for healthy, safe, and eco-friendly adventures. Want to understand what climate change is really all about? Want to get the latest environmental news? Listen to the Green Diva's My Earth 360 report and hear it all, from WTF to encouraging news and ways that you can take action for the Earth. This segment is sponsored by TrueGoods.com, because shopping should be fun, not frightening. TrueGoods helps you make simple choices for healthier, safer, cleaner living. Tell truth, shop good at TrueGoods.com. Yay, another My Earth 360 with Green Diva Lynn.
Hello.
So what's the WTF this week? What's on the top of the list?
How about those sea levels?
Oh, how about those sea levels? You mean like all of the icebergs and things that are melting and crashing into the ocean?
There was a new study that just came out that says West Antarctica's ice sheet will be completely melted in the coming centuries, raising sea levels much higher than previously predicted.
Yeah, and it's like accelerating. I happened to talk.
Yeah.
I happened to talk to Mark Terry, who did a documentary.
The Antarctica Challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Antarctica Challenge, and this is precisely what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's it's kind of funny. I belong to a Facebook group. It's called Global Warming Fact of the Day, and there's a whole bunch of different types of people in there. Some are scientists, some write about climate change, and now there's this whole conversation going back and forth about, well, how soon will the sea levels rise X number of feet? And, you know, they're all just like speculating and trying to, you know, determine what is that number. But they're saying within the next century, this report is saying it could be 3 feet or more. It might be 4 or more feet.
Well, and what's astonishing is it's only a few inches. Only a rise a few inches can have a major, major effect on
some of the low-lying lands.
Yeah, on the shorelines.
Right, right. And Antarctica, this is kind of interesting, but it holds about 60% of the planet's fresh water.
In ice form?
Indeed.
Well, and you know what Mark was explaining, and I'm looking forward to airing this interview.
Yeah,
but he was explaining, and again, I saw this also on the Years of Living Dangerously coincide the same day I interviewed him. I happened to see the one where Leslie Stahl goes to Antarctica and or Greenland. I can't remember. But anyway, they were discussing this, and they were illustrating how the rock heats up. Once the rock becomes exposed, the rock ledge that's underneath, when the pieces start to come off, once that heats up in the sun, the connecting and corresponding, you know, it's underneath more ice, heats up that rock underneath the other ice, and the other ice melts faster. I'm not being articulate about it. You got to listen to that.
I followed you.
Yeah, that's why we're not scientists here, but we we're just trying to get the information
out
there.
But the whole point was that it's accelerating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. It's climate change is warming the it's warming the ocean currents. It's changing wind patterns, and so the ice is melting faster from underneath. But also, I was watching an episode. I think I mentioned this in a previous segment. There was an episode on Vice, which is on HBO, they were in Antarctica, and part of also what happens is the soot from the pollution, you can see it on the top of the ice, and that makes the ice melt as well.
Oh.
Because it's making...
it's not so clean water then, is it, when it melts?
Well, that's true. But wouldn't it be cool if we could capture that water, that fresh water?
Yeah. And pipe it into places like California?
Right. I'm guessing it's not economically feasible.
No.
But if only they could come up with a way to do that.
I know.
Well, Poland Spring would be there if they could.
They'd be bottling it and selling it in plastic. Great.
Right.
Oh.
So that's kind of an interesting story.
Yeah.
And then related to climate change, this is another WTF, Marco Rubio. He's a Republican senator, a likely presidential candidate for 2016.
I hope they do put him
as
up.
As the New York Times said, he disqualified himself today.
But he said on ABC News this week, "Our climate is always changing. I do not believe that human activity is causing these dramatic changes to our climate the way these scientists are portraying it."
Wow, you do a good Mark Rubio.
Yeah, that was good.
I almost thought he was here with us in the studio. That's pretty good.
The thing that really got me, he said, and I will try to do that same voice again, "And I do not believe that the laws that they propose we pass will do anything about it, except it will destroy our economy."
Yeah, exactly.
God forbid it destroys our economy.
Well, yeah. we'll have an economy even if we have no people to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously.
But there was another site that did a parody on that, and I'll have to include the link. And I thought it was real at first, and I was going to quote that, and then I read more into it. It was like, oh, that's just it's kind of like The Onion, but a different site. I don't know what I'll find it and post it. It's hilarious.
Good.
Hilarious.
So is there anything encouraging?
Yes, we do have some encouraging news. I just have one word for you. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Just we hang on every word, Lynn.
Shrilk.
Gesundheit.
Shrilk.
It's a new bioplastic made from shrimp shells and silk.
That's right.
Almost forgot about that one, didn't you?
I did almost forget about that. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's a bioplastic that actually biodegrades. There's bioplastics out there now that, you know, they don't biodegrade.
Yeah.
So this is one that breaks down in a few weeks, and it even releases rich nutrients that support plant growth.
I know. It's like fertilizer. That's fantastic.
That's so
cool. I know. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Another kind of cool thing is that Leonardo DiCaprio gave $1 million to help save the elephants.
Aww.
And earlier this year, he gave $3 million to protect ocean habitats. And that just makes me feel really good.
Wow, I love Leo. And when is he going to come talk to us on the show?
Leo, come to the show.
Come on.
I'm totally going to be there if he calls.
Well, we're still working on Ian Somerhalder, too.
Well, that's true. One guy at a time.
Oh, the image. Yeah. Yes. Wow, that is kind of encouraging.
Yeah, and then one other thing, global renewable energy employment has grown to 6.5 million.
Wow.
According to a new report.
So there's some new jobs being made there, apparently.
From
clean economy.
Exactly. It's great. From 2012 to 2013, wind, solar, and other clean energy jobs grew by about 1 million.
What is there any specific action we should take this week?
We'll have a link from NRDC to demand limits to carbon pollution because that fuels climate change and creates all these problems.
Okay. I like it. I think that sounds really doable.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Thank you, Miss Lynn.
All right. Well, thank you.
And
thank Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
For the chuckle. Yeah. Oh. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Get all the details from this Green Divas My Earth 360 report and lots more on thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com and myearth360.com. And remember to tell truth and shop good at truegoods.com.
Greetings, everyone. This is David Avocado Wolf, nutritionist, author, and chocolatier. And you're listening to The Green Divas. Listen close, tune in, and have the best day ever.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Yeah. Well, hello, James Michael Riley.
Yes, hello, Meg. How are you?
Good. I'm so glad we got you back in the studio.
Very happy to be back here.
Yeah, I missed you. It's funny because the microphone's high, so I just see your eyes like over the top.
Yes.
I have to work on that.
Over the top of a nice microphone, though,
yeah.
So it's worth it.
Well, we had fun, and thank you for letting me install the new microphones. Yay.
You bet.
So you are really busy up at Underhill.
Yes, that's right.
And Underhill is, why don't you just quickly describe what Underhill is?
Absolutely. Underhill is one of the first single-family green roof homes in the state of New Jersey. And by green roof, what we mean is that it's going to have a foot of earth on the roof with plants growing up there. And that will give us enough soil cover to replant a lot of what is native to the hillside environment that the house is set in. So we'll be able to put everything up there up to like small trees. And really restore wildlife habitat.
And didn't we discuss having goats last time?
Yes, I think we did, and I'm totally open to that. I think some deer will make it up there on their own because there are a couple of places you can access it from the hillside in the back. So they'll serve some of the purpose of goats.
So in this process, you're becoming like an expert in green building, in particular with the green roof.
Learning a lot more about it, yes.
Because that's the particular style, but there's so many other aspects to it. Like we talked briefly last time about what kind of heaps.
A geothermal.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm like, drill, sounds
right.
Like,
yep.
Looks like.
Yep.
Using my hand signals.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right, which are so effective on audio.
So today, literally, you were earlier today working on waterproofing.
Yes, and that's something I'm going back to as soon as we're done here.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. What's really cool now is that we have one section of the green roof. The roof in total is going to be about 3,000 square feet, and we have about 500 square feet of it that are structurally complete. So I'm now waterproofing that, and in May, we're going to have an excavator come and do a lot of the backfilling around the sides of the house and also backfill this 500 square feet of roof. So our plan is that in June, we will actually plant our first green roof up at Underhill.
Wow. But you won't be living there yet, will you?
I'm not living there yet. No. No. We still don't have things like running water and stuff like that. But this section of roof will be done.
Minor detail. Yeah. You know.
Yes. Yes. But getting there.
Getting there.
Yeah.
So now we were talking about waterproofing stuff. Is there anything particular that folks should look for if they're going to be doing... Yeah, you have to do extra waterproofing because of the type of structure, right?
Yes, absolutely. There is one part of the roof, one small part that's not a green roof, and that will have conventional shingles. But most of it, I mean, what you're doing is you're building a roof that has a lot more in common with like a foundation wall.
Right.
Because it has to be waterproofed and then it has to be backfilled.
Yeah.
But with the additional challenge of the dirt's on top of it instead of next to it.
Yeah.
So if there's any way that water can find its way in, it will. And good luck finding that leak because it's under a foot of earth and insulation and all those other things that are up there. So it's a challenge here. And it's one of the first things that I read when I started to learn about this. There was a book that came out done at the University of Minnesota back in the 80s or even 70s called Earth Shelter Technology.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And one of the things that this guy said was that failures of waterproofing in earth houses are not usually failures of materials. They're usually failures of detailing or application.
Okay.
And that is something I've had very much in mind. And having already started this waterproofing process with this stuff, and we're using a liquid product, I had a wake-up call in that I did a lot of it last week, and then we had a lot of rain over the weekend.
Right, right.
And water got in.
Yeah.
So my details are not done yet.
Well, actually, that's probably the way to do it is to make sure you have a good rain after you think you're done before you backfill everything.
Yeah. I would recommend to anybody, don't backfill until you get a heavy rain so that you can really get in there and see what's happening with water.
Wow. Yeah. I had a question. Just went poof, like evaporated out of
That's
my
right.
head.
But I can tell you how I got hooked up with this particular manufacturer of waterproofing materials. And I can't advocate them yet or endorse them because I'm still in the process of doing this, and I'll let you know when the result
right.
is done.
Right.
But the way I found it was that I was in New York City about a month and a half ago, sitting in a Starbucks doing some work between meetings that I had.
Which is what everybody who doesn't live in Manhattan does.
Yes,
when they
you're
go
absolutely right.
Work, right?
Where do you land where there's internet access? It's a Starbucks, yeah. So this guy is sitting next to me. We hadn't been talking to each other, and suddenly he says to me, "Can I show you something?" And I'm thinking, "Oh boy, what on earth is this? You know, a complete stranger asking to show me something in a Starbucks." And he turns his iPad toward me, and I'm seeing an image of what appears to be somebody rappelling like off a building, and I can see lights way down below. And I said to him, how high up is that? He said, that's the Empire State Building.
Wow.
And this is a guy's name is George Cole, and he has a company that does waterproofing and other sorts of things on high buildings in New York City.
Where it's critical and you can't get back up there to patch things
up, right? Exactly, right.
You do it once and you do it right.
You do it once or it's a fortune just to put the equipment back in place to access the roof to see what's wrong. So he is the one that gave me some tips on this. And it was just so interesting to run into somebody who is doing things like, you know, upgrading the antennas on top of the Empire State Building.
Well, that's kind of neat. So, listen, you'll come back and you'll tell us an update on how the product is working.
I would love to.
All right.
I would love to.
Stay tuned.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com.
Looking for low-stress ways to create a healthier, non-toxic environment in your home? The Green Divas make it fun and easy with useful information for making a beautiful and eco-friendly Green Diva home. Well, how exciting is this, that our first inaugural Green Divas at Home segment would be with Beth Greer, who is, she's a healthy home expert, best-selling author. Her book, Supernatural, is so cool, or Supernatural Home, excuse me. Hi, Beth, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks. Great to be here, Megan.
I'm so excited we got you. Now, so you've got kind of an interesting topic today. Tell us about what your topic is.
I'm going to talk about the three things in our very homes that can age us prematurely, make us old before our time.
Yeah, you know, every Green Diva definitely needs to listen to this. So tell us what's lurking in our homes that's aging us.
Okay, well, I wanted to tell you how I found out. So about 12 years ago, I was diagnosed with a giant tumor in my chest.
Oh, my God.
I was able to eliminate it without drugs or surgery by detoxing my body and my home. And so when I did that, I realized not only did I heal myself and I felt so much better, but my skin looked great. And people kept saying to me, Beth, what are you putting on your skin? I know I'm in my 60s, and my skin looks really phenomenal, I have to say.
Wow.
And so they said, what are you putting on your skin? And I said, it's not what I'm putting on my skin. It's what I'm not putting on my skin.
Right.
And it's also these things that I've discovered that can definitely age us. And so one of the things is that, you know, it's funny. I just have a guest here in my home, and she was telling me she uses an antibacterial soap on her body every day. And that's a big clue. You see the word antibacterial on the label? It has triclosan in it.
Yep.
And triclosan is actually a pesticide. And it's been shown to cause endocrine problems in laboratory animals. But,
right.
You know, we're close right there. And so I would really recommend that people just use regular old soap and water. It can make us resistant if we need antibiotics down the road.
Yes.
So it's really dangerous.
Yes. Yeah, it's an endocrine disruptor. I wrote about it a couple of years ago about not using hand sanitizer and about all the things it does to amphibians in the water system. It's terrible.
That's right. Triclosan has been found in all of us. It's been found in all of our bodies. It's even found in some toothpaste. So you really have to pay attention and read the label. If you see antibacterial, don't buy it.
Run.
That's my big takeaway, right? It will mess up your hormones, right? We don't want that.
No. So number two.
Number two is food additives. So things like pesticides, food colorings, and artificial sweeteners. I want to touch on those three because I think they're all three big ones. So pesticides work by destroying the nervous system of bugs. So you got to think about what is it doing to our nervous system?
Yeah,
and
seriously.
So opt for eating organic whenever possible. And, you know, go to the Environmental Working Group website. They have the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen. It tells you what has the most and the least pesticide residue.
And they update that every year, and I think they just came out with a new one.
They just came out, and my blog post has a link to that, so you can go there.
Perfect.
Food colorings, food dyes.
Ooh.
Do you know food dyes are banned in Europe because they cause hyperactivity in children, in normal kids.
Yeah.
So avoid the blue yogurt tubes, you know, those squeeze. I used to give those to my daughter, right? You know, just read your labels and watch for the hidden colors. They're in cereals and soft drinks and cakes and cookies and things like that.
Ugh.
And then artificial sweeteners. I mean, that's a real big no-no. That can really age you. And look for the word aspartame. I had a client who had gotten a thing of hot cocoa mix in the mail, low calorie. She drank it, and she got a dizzy spell. And she didn't connect the dots until she drank the next one, and then had another dizzy spell. And she read the label. And so, you know, people will run to the doctor. They have dizzy spells. They'll be put on anti-dizzy medication or go for CAT scans when it might be from your artificial sweeteners, from aspartame.
Yikes.
So it's found in all the diet sodas. It's found in NutraSweet and Equal. And, you know, look for those low-calorie desserts, you know, sugar-free. Whatever. If it's a sugar-free, you can be sure it has aspartame in it.
So it's in our bathroom. There's things lurking in our bathrooms when we think we're getting this super clean antibacterial soap with triclosan, or it's in food additives and lurking in there. You know, go ahead.
No, and I just want to make sure we have time for the third one, which is synthetic fragrances. That's a real big one. It can cause headaches. I had a client who had a cough for 2 years, and she couldn't figure out what was going on. And I went into her home and discovered she had scented candles in her bedroom.
Oh.
And they were containing with artificial and synthetic fragrances. You know, these are things that are made in the lab, and if you see the word fragrance on a label, it can mean up to 100 different synthetic chemicals in that one word.
Oh, my gosh.
That can be a real trigger.
Yeah, I know that I'm very sensitive. If there's a strong scent, and it's usually a chemically induced one, I can actually get a migraine from.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they contain something called phthalates. And they cause hormonal problems, birth defects, reproductive problems, and allergies, asthma attacks, that sort of thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So look for things that are naturally just derived. You know, like 100% essential oils are usually pretty safe, and it's not going to cause a problem.
I'm writing this down, and I'm like, I know there's going to be...
It's all in the blog, so you can read it there.
Exactly. Oh, I'm so glad we got to talk to you today, and I'm looking forward to talking to you more about creating a supernatural home.
Great. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Thanks so much, Beth. Take care.
Okay. Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye. Find out more about this Green Divas at Home segment and lots of other great low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green at thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. Shopping should be fun, not frightening. That's why True Goods offers a consciously curated selection of non-toxic goods. Find a variety of healthy and natural products for house and home, the kids, and even those furry family members. Also check out the True Goods blog, The Goods, for engaging articles and useful resources. True Goods makes choosing a healthier, safer, cleaner lifestyle easy. Tell truth, shop good at truegoods.com.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people, who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Well, I'm really excited to have Susan Frankel back. She's the author of Plastic, A Toxic Love Story. She's a journalist. She doesn't call herself an investigative journalist, but I kind of think she does such an intense job of studying the researching things. That anyway, I think of her as an investigative journalist. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Meg.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm great.
It's been a while since we talked about the book, but you're continuing your research on the effects of certain toxins in our environment and how they affect us. And I know you had recently done a story in The Nation.
Yes, I did a story looking at the effects of pesticides on sort of developing brains. The story was really about a long-running study in California where a group of researchers have been following the children of migrant workers in the Salinas Valley, which is this sort of very rich valley where a lot of produce, especially lettuce and greens, are grown, and where pesticides are heavily used.
Right.
And they followed these kids. They measured pesticide levels in the mothers while they were pregnant, and then followed the kids from birth on, particularly looking at what they were really looking at were organophosphate pesticides, which is one class among the many different kinds of pesticides that are out there in use.
And how long did they follow these folks?
They've been following the kids since like 1999, 2000, when the study started.
Right.
So they started looking at pesticides. They've since branched out into other things like flame retardants and fumigants and other kinds of chemicals. But, you know, the pesticide study is sort of what I focused on and in many ways what they're best known for. And, you know, the bottom line of what they found is that even exposure to very small amounts of these organophosphates can have an effect on how brains develop. You know, basically the kids who got the biggest hit prenatally, you know, showed neurodevelopmental differences from the earliest ages on. So, you know, at 6 months, these kids had poor reflexes. At 2 years, they were at greater risk for pervasive developmental disorder, which is sort of on the Asperger's spectrum.
Right.
At five, they were more likely to be hyperactive. And then at seven, they gave the kids IQ tests, and the kids who had, again, had the highest prenatal exposures scored on average 7 IQ points lower than the kids with the lowest exposures, which doesn't sound like a lot. And in an individual, you wouldn't notice that difference. I mean, a teacher wouldn't notice a kid who's had, you know, 7 IQ points lower than the kid next to him. But when you look at it at a population level, it starts to have big effects.
Well, yeah. And it's, and I guess there's a difference between whether, you know, I'm eating pesticide residue on my lettuce and if I'm working in a farm where I'm exposed to it on a constant basis.
Right. These kids in general had higher levels of exposures than most of us. The thing that gives you pause are a couple of things. One is there was an other study that I talk about that has a similar study that's been going on in New York City, where Columbia University and Mount Sinai researchers have been following kids living in apartment buildings, sort of in low-income apartment buildings.
Right.
And these kids were exposed to this class of pesticides because landlords in the building sprayed for cockroaches.
Right.
And these kids also, you know, showed very, very similar kinds of effects.
So it's not necessarily...
The results really track. So that's an urban population. The California group is a rural population. And then, you know, there's the rest of us who sort of go through life and, you know, find ourselves in places where pesticides are being used.
Right. Or, you know, and I don't know, and maybe you do, whether these kind of organophosphates, do they accumulate in our system? Can we, over time, maybe hit a critical mass of exposure that could affect us?
The issue really isn't the persistence. As far as I know, the issue isn't so much the persistence in our system. They are... One of the pesticides that these studies looked at is something called chlorpyrifos, and that does persist in the environment. And the EPA in 2000 banned chlorpyrifos from indoor use, partly because of these kinds of findings that were starting to come out.
Right.
It's still used in farms and, you know, for outdoor use, and actually is... one of the in California is one of the top pesticides used near schools.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a risk. Again, we're talking about small levels of exposure. And
yeah.
So I think, you know, the people who are most vulnerable to these mm-hmm. kinds of levels are kids.
Right.
And, you know, fetuses and toddlers. And, you know, and they're vulnerable because, as with other toxins, they, you know, they've got, they take in more per pound of body weight than adults do.
They're still developing.
They crawl around on the floor.
Right.
They put things in their mouths.
Yeah.
You know, there's all sorts of stuff that puts them at greater, you know, vulnerability than adults.
Wow. But it's sort of like some folks have needed to see or hear proof that there is a negative effect of these pesticides. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, you know, I mean, organophosphates were, you know, I mean, it's a tough balancing act. Organophosphates were originally, you know, they're a cousin of nerve gas.
Right.
And they work by targeting the nervous system. And what they do in the developing brains of babies is very similar to what they do to, you know, stop insects. They inhibit this enzyme that kind of keeps chemical messages working in the brain. And that, you know, seems to have, you know, that can then have an effect on kids' abilities down the line. So it's not really surprising. And in animal studies, it's always shown that they have this effect. So, you know, these studies help reinforce what we already know from animal studies and what we just know about how they work on insects.
Well, and as you said in the beginning, this is only one class
yeah.
of the many different types of toxins that can be used in chemical fertilizers and chemical pesticides, right?
Right.
And
right.
Then that's just in the farming, right? Then there's the
right.
flame retardants and the, you know, the other stuff.
Right. And, you know, I mean, in the end of the day, you know, the researcher who leads this study is a woman named Brenda Eskenazi, and at the end of the day, you know, what she would say is it's probably not any one single agent that poses the greatest risk to our health. It's the mm-hmm. fact that we are exposed to a lot of them in the course of a day, whether it's
right.
On the produce that we eat, or whether it's something that's been sprayed in the offices where we work, or it's something, you know, off-gassing
right.
from the shower curtain in a
yep.
bathroom.
Ugh.
You know, it's a lot of different stuff, and it's
right.
very hard to pin down and trace health effects to any one thing. But what we really don't know, and what, you know, regulators aren't looking at, is what is that cumulative effect?
And how do they interact? I mean, you
and
know,
how do they
does the sil-
right?
does the silver nano, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, it was a little terrifying, the silver nano, you know, antibacterial stuff in my shower curtain interact with something in my shampoo that could be accumulating. You know, we don't know. We just don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
it's cause for pause. And, you know, I do hope that obviously there are folks doing research because that's where this is all coming from. But, you know, there's only so much they can do. And I do hope that the FDA and the other regulatory bodies start to pay attention. But as you know, and most of us know, there really aren't any solid regulations for chemicals.
Well,
or there's very few.
Pesticides are regulated by the EPA,
right?
And they're regulated under a different law than the, you know, Toxic Substances Control Act, which covers, you know, all those other sort of chemicals that you were talking about. And in some ways, they're more tightly regulated than industrial chemicals.
Yeah.
But there are still loopholes. There are still problems with the regulation, and you know, there's still ways in which, you know, it's not as stringent as we would like it to be. It's very tough. I mean, the study that I write about, which has presented, I think, what most scientists would agree, is a really strong set of findings. That's taken 15 years and, you know, like $10 million, and that's on one class of pesticides, which are being phased out.
And, right.
and we don't know a whole lot about the replacements that are coming in, whether they're any safer, whether they, you know, to have hazards. It's a very difficult system that we have right now.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
figuring
and you know,
this stuff out, and the science is legitimately hard.
Yeah, and of course you can't rely on the government to do it all, and we certainly don't. I'm not saying that they should, but there should be some kind of incentive for and some concern about this stuff. I mean, it's like BPA, right? It's one chemical and plastic that's been focused on. It got a lot of PR, got a lot of press, a lot of negative press. And the studies showed that, in fact, it did have a negative effect, or, you know, whatever the negative effects are. Thus, it became regulated. And it's like, what? So do we have to go out and shout in the streets about every, you know?
Well, I mean, in many ways we do. I mean, BPA, you know, came to – BPA is no longer in baby bottles, not because the EPA or the FDA did anything. It's because parents said, you know, I don't know for sure whether this is dangerous or not, but I sure as heck don't want to expose my baby to it.
Right.
And so, you know, manufacturers quickly realized that they needed to switch it out. Right now in California, there's a big campaign to try to get this last use of chlorpyrifos, the pesticide that I'm talking about, to get it banned once and for all from agricultural use. So that's one place where, you know, if people are concerned, they can put their energy. But it is really tough, and I mean, I tell people, I just, you know, in the end, I don't think we can have individual answers to these problems. I do think it means demanding better, stronger regulations, because these things are so ubiquitous that and so unlabeled, you don't know. You don't know, and in many cases, there's no way to find out.
Yeah, and you know, going back to the BPA thing, that's great, but now they're finding out that some of the whatever they use to replace the BPA, because it hardens or whatever it does, may also not be good for us. And they still haven't really tested properly the rest of the chemicals that are involved in that type of plastic. So it's an ongoing and tireless process to understand what we're doing with plastic or with pesticides or with fertilizers or all of these various things that we've become accustomed to using for convenience and whatever we think. I think probably a lot of this stuff was developed after World War II, and that's my understanding. Certain things were developed for other reasons.
I mean, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's really when pesticides came into widespread use.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's so interesting to talk to you, and encouraging that, you know, while it seems a little daunting that there's so much out there, but, you know, every step, every time the research comes out to show, yes, indeed, this is not good for us, even though most of us already knew it. I think
with pesticides, at least, there is some stuff people can do. So, you know, I mean, it's really there. You know, there's been research showing really clearly if you eat organic produce, your pesticide load goes down significantly. You know, if you can't afford organic produce because it's often pretty expensive, you know, you can wash your produce really thoroughly, dry it with a towel really thoroughly, peel things that can be peeled.
Yeah.
You know, all those things can eliminate the amount of pesticide residue that you're getting.
And, of course, growing your own if you can.
Grow
some percentage of your own if you have the ability to do that. And now there's so many ways to grow even in an urban setting, whether it's a community garden or,
And I, you know, always tell people that Environmental Working Group does this great thing every year.
Yes.
They put out the Dirty Dozen list, and that tells you which are the fruits and vegetables that are going to be most heavily sprayed and which are the cleanest ones. And
I was thinking of that, because some of them are, like, if you have a choice between, you know, organic strawberries and non-organic blueberries or whatever, there are certain things that are, like, really bad.
Right. It can tell you where, if you've got a limited amount of money to spend on organic, it can tell you which are the things that are probably most important to buy organic.
Right.
And which are the things that you're, you know, okay on.
Well, I'm so glad you're doing this work and you're very articulate, because I'm not today, but but it's really wonderful to talk to you again, Susan, and I hope we get to talk to you again soon. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Susan. Bye-bye.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
Well, there you have it. Yep. Great. Another hour of fun with the Green Divas and Green Dude.
Great show.
Yeah, great show.
Yeah, we're just pumping them out now, man. I feel kind of productive.
Terrific that there's so pumping much great work going on to make people aware of and celebrate success and
yeah,
provide us opportunities to take action.
I almost think there's hope for us.
I would say so.
Hey, if nothing else, we have fun.
Exactly. Well, thank you for having fun with us for this hour. I hope you'll spread the joy and check us out again. Meanwhile, everybody have a great green week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.